Last but not least, let's pray together as we begin this last session together in session number 3, or course number 3 of Revelation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity of just wrapping up now what you've shown us in these precious times together. Help us, Father, to be coherent. Help us, Father, to be able to put these things in proper perspective. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a visible picture. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just because this is the last lesson doesn't certainly mean that it's the weakest or the least of what we have looked at. Because what we need to do now is try to put all of this together. Are you like me? I have gotten sometimes so confused, and when I see it all together, I didn't realize we had accumulated so much knowledge in this period of time. And remember, we've raised a lot of questions. That's true. Sometimes frustrating because we've raised more questions than what we had to start with. But that doesn't mean we haven't learned way more than we knew when we started the course. So don't be frustrated. There's another course in Revelation. There's going to be a prophecy series we're talking about. But right now, we need to put together as best we can some of the high points of what we've studied in this course. So I'm going to move over here to the board. I'm not going to take anything with me. Let's just see how well we can put this together. Now, we've drawn some lines. Actually, we could have drawn one line, but it would be a board that would be about 100 feet long. So we put some lines over top of lines, but we tried to make some key reference points. Let me give you the key reference points. Right here is the seventh trumpet, right here. That is the midway between, obviously, there's a 3.5 year period of time here and a 3.5 year period of time here. The seventh trumpet is in the middle part of that. The 70th week of Daniel is from here to here. So when you see these marks right here, that is the end or the beginning of that 3.5 year period of time. When you see a question mark, that means we don't know how far back it goes. It may go right here, but we don't know that. And so we'll try to put events together, bringing in Daniel, 2 Thessalonians, Revelation, Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21, and let's just see how well we can put it all together. Actually, the best place to start is Revelation 12 because it goes all the way back to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? We see where the woman was in labor to give birth to a child right here in Revelation chapter 12. I didn't go back and write all the verses down. We have this in our notes, so you know what I'm referring to. When she's giving birth to the male child, in one verse, he is born, lives, and ascends all the way. The male child is caught up to be with the Father. So we see 33 years in just about one verse. Remember, the dragon stood over the woman in order to devour the child. The attempt on the child's life from the very beginning. Remember when Herod put out the decree to put to death the children? And right there, Satan tried to devour the child. Well, Revelation 12, however, jumps from here all the way over to here. Because we know, comparing Revelation 12, 15 with chapter 11, 15, we know that event of casting Satan out started right here. And so Revelation 12 jumps a huge span of time from the cross all the way to the end of time, the end of the age, rather, and the beginning of the 70th week. It jumps all the way to the middle because we have learned in Revelation 12 that Satan is cast down right here at the seventh trumpet. So we can put Revelation 12 all the way across this timeline because it covers a huge span of time. We know that then we move to Revelation 11. Isn't that interesting? Because you move back one. Because in Revelation 11, we know that there's a 3.5 year period of time covered right here. What happens during that time? Well, we know that in verses 3 and 12, there are two witnesses. The two witnesses come on the scene. They witness for 1,260 days, which is during this time right here, and then they're taken up. Now, how do we know it's during this time? Because it says when they're taken up, the end of the second woe has passed. What's the second woe? It's the sixth trumpet of the seventh seal. So that happens right here. They're taken up. The two witnesses are taken up. I got excited one night, I think I might have told you, and said the 2.5 witnesses go right up here, and all the elders sit on their face. But that takes place right here, the end of the second woe. And also in chapter 11, we see where the holy city is trampled underfoot for 42 months. Now, this leaves us a problem. If you're going to do a timeline, is it before the seventh trumpet that they're trampled for 42 months, or is it after? I think it's after, but some people disagree and think it's before. We don't know, so we put it on both sides, right in this time. There's the last of the 70th week. That's the first of the 70th week. 7-year period of time we're looking at right here. Okay, then the third woe starts. What is the third woe? The third woe is the seventh trumpet. Begins right here. Now, up until this timeline, we've got seven seals, six trumpets. Somebody has asked, did a seven seals, six trumpets go back 3.5 years? Do you know what? If you're honest to the text, it never says. It doesn't tell you specifically that it goes back the 3.5 years. Do I believe that it does? Probably, but I can't prove that because that's why we have a question mark right here. You can't be dogmatic about it. If you're going to be honest with Scripture, let it not say what it doesn't say. It doesn't tell you. The seven bowls, judgments, do they go 3.5 years? It doesn't say. We think it does, but we don't know. It just never says seven bowls last 3 years. It doesn't say that. You come to Revelation chapter 13. We're still at the seventh trumpet right here. We're putting a line so that we can understand it. In Revelation 13, we see a beast. Actually, we see two beasts that come on the scene. The second beast is able to do signs, all kinds of signs. The first beast has authority. He has 10 nations to back him up. And for 42 months, he brings quite a bit of problems to this world. This is the one that Satan uses to persecute the woman, who is Israel. And we see this for the 42 months. This goes on right during this time. Okay, let's keep moving down. Then we'll come to this other side right here. In Daniel chapter 9, now we know the beast is the Antichrist. We know he's on the scene full of satanic authority during the last 3.5 years. Seventh trumpet on, okay? Now, in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about the 69 weeks. We got to go way back to the cross again. 69 weeks beginning with a decree to come back and rebuild the temple. Artaxerxes and whatever date we studied. 69 weeks, 483 years, comes right here to the cross. Jesus is suffering and he is cut off at this point. Now, we have a gap and Daniel 9 jumps all the way until it gets to this last part right here. And in verse 26 and 27, it talks about a prince that is to come, the prince who is to come, and how he comes on the scene. And Daniel 9, from the cross, jumps all the way to the seventh trumpet and talks about that last three. Actually, it talks about this whole period of time. Because he comes on the scene, he makes a covenant with Israel. This is the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel 9. He comes on the scene, makes a peace treaty, and then the last part of the peace treaty is when he brings all of his devastation and destruction. That's the same one as the little horn of Daniel 7. Now, Daniel 7 gives all the qualifications about this little horn. Tells what he's going to be like, how he's going to come on. He's a warrior, etc. And he's there for half a time. How long? 3.5 years. And so his dominion is destroyed right here at the end. Now, we'll put that together in a second. So far, we've put 11, 12, 13, Daniel 9, and Daniel 7. And everything is centering right around this seventh trumpet when it comes to that awful time of tribulation, the very difficult time of the very end. Okay, now we know in AD 70, the people of the prince are going to come on the scene. They're going to destroy the city, and they're going to destroy the temple. The covenant is made here, again, Daniel 9, all the way to the end. Now, he stops the sacrifice. Daniel 9 teaches us this, verse 26 and 27. He stops the sacrifice in the middle of the week. And at the same time, Daniel chapter 12 says that Michael stands up. Now, Michael stands up, and this is when I believe that he does battle with Satan, and Satan is kicked out. You see, all this fits together. It's incredible. It's all very understandable if we can just somehow put all this together. All right, Michael arises, and there's a time of distress for Israel. How long? For times, and half a time. All this is Daniel 12. And it talks about 1,290 days. Now, some of you have asked, Wayne, what do you think that is? And I've got such a clear answer for you. I don't have the slightest clue. I don't know. Maybe we'll learn it next time. It also talks about 1,335 days. Now, these are some different time periods. This right here is 1,260. This right here is 1290. This is 1335. That's in Daniel chapter 12. Where does Daniel chapter 12 fit? That's when Michael stands up. It's right here. right, during this period of time. And Israel is going to have to be broken. It talks about Israel being broken of their stubbornness and of their rebellion. Okay, we've still got the seventh trumpet running right here. Now, when you get to Matthew chapter 24, he talks about the beginnings of birth pangs. This has led us to a serious question. Does the beginning of birth pangs start right here at the beginning of the 70th week of the 7-year period of time? Or does it go back beyond that? We don't know. You can have arguments on both sides. So what do? We put a question mark right here. We just don't know. When you hear somebody stand up and they can tell you for a fact that we know when that begins, back off and say, wait a minute, that's a good idea. But the Bible just doesn't tell us exactly when that starts. All right, then you have the abomination of desolation. That's what Matthew 24 speaks of. It comes, that also coincides with the Antichrist who breaks his covenant in the middle of the week. He starts it right here. He stops it right here. The abomination of desolation. The idea is he goes into the temple, proclaims himself to be God, and everything is downhill from that point. He's a strong man up until here. The Antichrist is on the scene this whole 7-year period of time, but he's a satanically induced man the last part of that. Okay, Judea. All the people in Judea are to flee. That's told us in Matthew 24. This is where this will fit, right here. Right at the abomination of desolation. There are going to be great signs, tribulation, and it's going to end right here with the coming of the Son of Man. Now, the coming of the Son of Man is right here at the end of the 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years. That's Matthew 24. It comes right up to right here. So we see then how, if you had an overlap, if somehow I could put one thing down with Revelation 11, then pull another page with Revelation 12, then another one with 13, then Daniel 9, Daniel 7, Matthew 24, you'd begin to see how all this overlays. Obviously, there's no way to do that. So we have to do it somewhat this way. Well, we know the Antichrist is going to be destroyed right here from Daniel 9. We also know that from Revelation 19. Okay, let's come on down. Stay on this side of the line as much as we can. In Luke 21, remember Luke 21 talks about the times of the Gentiles. How far does it go back? AD 70? Let's put this right here. Maybe. It might even go back beyond. As we've had a lesson on that, there's good indication that they've had the Gentiles trample on them for a long time in our history study. However, if you look at Daniel 9:26, and if you look at Luke 21, it appears it is after they've rejected the Lord Jesus, beginning in AD 70. Don't be too dogmatic about that. Jerusalem is surrounded by armies. The temple is destroyed. That's AD 70. Now, Luke 21 basically just brings us up to this point right here. This is a time not parallel with Matthew 24. Matthew 24 deals more right here when you see the abomination of desolation flee to Judea. This is talking about when you see the army surrounding the city, you flee Judea. They're two different times altogether. Now, we come to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians deals with the restrainer. It deals with when apostasy is finally removed. When does that take place? We don't know. There's not enough information in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to prove a whole lot, except that the church is not going to be involved in the wrath of God. Now, you can write that down, take it to the bank. Because the day of the Lord, we are not destined for the wrath of God. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, but 2 Thessalonians 2 covers that very well. The man of lawlessness is mentioned there in 2 Thessalonians and how he's going to come on the scene. Now, but it specifically refers to the time right here. He's going to be revealed. He's going to be revealed right here. Now, do you think that when he makes a peace treaty, somebody might not know who he is? Well, possibly they may have suspicions, but you're not going to know for sure who he is until right here, when the abomination of desolation here happens that Matthew 24 talks about. He's going to be destroyed right here. The same thing that it talks about up here, his destruction. I mean, all of this overlaps. This is the Antichrist, prince to come, man of lawlessness, all of them are the same people. And so it goes up to this line right here. Then we jump down to Ezekiel 36. And Ezekiel 36 talks about the gathering out of the nations, out of the graves, brought back into the land. We know that it started happening in 1948. We don't have to go back and redo the lessons, but remember, it's out of the nations, not nation. So when Ezekiel wrote that, he was looking far into the future, and we've already seen that begin to happen. The gathering to his land. Israel and Judah. We're not talking about just one now. It's both. That's the new covenant promise. Then we see a day in Ezekiel 37 is talked about when they'll be cleansed, they'll have the Spirit, they'll be one nation, and they'll be sanctified forever. When is that going to be? That's after the end of the 70th week of Daniel. That's on in this period of time when they will be with the Lord forever. It says David's going to be resurrected to rule over them. Is that true? That's just what it says. Now, let's begin to look a little bit more on this side. As you move down, you've got the second coming of Christ right here. The second coming of Christ, and that's Revelation chapter 19. That's the wedding feast. That's when they have the wedding feast. And he comes right here. Revelation 19. And a lot of things are going on here. The Battle of Armageddon is right here. Revelation 19 shows us that. That's when the Antichrist is defeated. That's when the beast and the false prophet, beast is the Antichrist, false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. And later on, at the end of the 1,000 years, right here, this is the end of the 1,000-year period of time, Satan is thrown into the pit of fire. We know that from Revelation 19, Revelation 20. Then Revelation 20 talks about the saints possessing the kingdom. Let's see, we've got Gog and Magog at the end of the 1,000 years. And then, of course, we've got Revelation 21 that talks about the new heaven and the new earth. And I don't believe there's much more that we need to bring out on that thing. Remember this, the more you put things into this, you keep this chart, keep it, write it down, stay with it, because when you get into the next courses that we might do on Revelation, all of this you'll be able to refer back to. One of the things we've decided in the writing of the courses that are coming, if somebody's taken another course and haven't taken these courses, then so sad your dad. I mean, we're not going to back up and redo it. You're going to have to take a course. So I know you're glad you've taken this course. So when you move to the next one, this will become a very solid foundation for which to walk on. Well, let me ask you a question. This as we wrap all this up, it's going to be a short lesson. There's not a whole lot to do on it except just to put this chart together and gear up and join hands and say, listen, we know this, but we don't know that. And we'll wait and see what happens in the days to come. But let me ask you a question. Since the rapture, everybody's been wanting to know, when is the rapture of the church? And I know a lot of you have come every single Monday night or Tuesday morning, whenever you're taking the class. You're coming because you want to know when the church is going to go out. I want to just caution you just a little bit. You know, I have a personal opinion as to when that's going to go out. But I have learned something in Revelation and from studying Scripture with one rule. You don't say it unless the Word says it. Commentaries are fine. I use them, and I have absolutely nothing against them because they're learned men and they're scholars over the years. But you've got to be real, real careful when you start nailing something down as if you've got Scripture to back it up as to the very point of time that it happened. Hopefully, you've seen that in this course. Some things are not as answerable as you want them to be. Now, personally, I know when I want it to happen. I know when I still hang on to the fact that it is going to happen. But I have backed up somewhat and realized, if it doesn't, what am I going to do? Now, friend, listen, if you're a believer and somehow in all the studies that we continue to go through changes anything that you're hanging on to, remember this, if Jesus is your life today, He will be your life then. I hear many people saying, quite often, that if we are going into any of this period of time, seven seals, whatever, if we're going to go into it, that would be something that would cause us to gear up and to purify ourselves. No, sir, it will not. I thoroughly disagree with that. He says, if you have the hope of your calling, the fact that Jesus is going to come for us, that we will be conformed into His image, that is what purifies your heart. So be real cautious as you could proceed, having done this course. You've labored through an hour session. That's enough. I believe the chart speaks for itself. So in this last lesson, let me give you a gift by having a short tape. But when you go home, remember, the next course will depend so much on what you've learned in this course. Keep your charts, keep everything you have, and we'll continue to build upon it. Still a lot of unanswered questions. Ezekiel 38 and 39, we didn't even get into. Overwhelmingly difficult to translate and understand. We haven't really nailed down everything about Babylon. All these things perhaps will come in a future course. Main thing is, stay with what you know. Understand that Jesus will be faithful to you as He's faithful to Israel. And remember, He is your life. Stop trying to live for Him as much as letting Him live through you. Yes, you live for Him by surrendering to Him every day. But let Jesus just be Jesus in your life. Thank you for coming to the course. I've enjoyed being with you. But I honestly believe there's not one more thing I need to say. We've got the chart. We've done the work. We've tried to put it together. And there you have it. Last, but I hope not least, and I trust that we'll see you in the next course that we do in Revelation. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for the time that we've spent together. Lord, for all the overwhelming facts that you've given to us. Thank you that we can draw a timeline. Thank you, Father, we can better understand. But also thank you, Father, for the mystery that still surrounds it. I thank you, Lord, that you just continue to show us by revelation. And we love you, and we praise you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.